is filled by the Holy Spirit. The command is found in the first part of verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the first part of the command is pretty easy to understand. Don't be drunk with wine. It's a negative, present imperative, and it can mean two things. Either stop a present action, or don't begin to develop that habit. So in either case, it's evident that it is a command to believers that either saying, if you're getting drunk, stop. And if you're not getting drunk, don't start. Just a little rabbit trail before we go on to the next command, be filled with the Spirit. According to the Word of God, drunkenness is a sin. According to the Word of God, drinking in excess is wrong. According to the Word of God, a strong drink is deceptive. In fact, as you read through the Scripture, you'll discover that the priests and the rulers and the elders abstained from drinking too much alcoholic drink because they wanted to remain clear in thinking and wise in their judgment. According to the Bible, there are several dangers that arise from drinking too much. It slows the thinking process. It causes mental stupor. It causes loss of balance and mental control. It causes arrogance. It causes forgetfulness. It causes confusion and delirious dreams. According to the Word of God, wine was also used for medicinal purposes. And according to the Word of God, it is not wrong to drink wine or an alcoholic drink. In fact, according to Scripture, Jesus himself made some incredibly good wine. What is wrong, according to Scripture, is drinking in excess or getting drunk. It's wrong. And it's happening far too often here in America. Let me just share a few statistics with you. There are 10 million alcoholics in the United States. 20 million high-risk drinkers in the United States. Number one cause of death among young people ages 15 to 24. Number three cause of birth defects. The cause of one-third of all traffic accidents. Cause of problems in over one-third of the families in America. Major contributing factor to both wife abuse and child abuse. 200,000 Americans are killed each year in alcohol-related accidents, which is four times more Americans killed. That's just in one year than due to alcohol than Americans that were killed in the entire Vietnam War due to war. It's a problem. Drinking in excess and drunkenness is a problem. It says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. This is the second part of the command. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled is an imperative. That is, it's a command, not an option. This is not an option for believers. Well, should I get filled? Should I not? I don't know. No, it's a command. Second, be filled is present. It's a continuing process. It's not a single action. So what he's really saying here is keep on being filled. Keep on being filled. Thirdly, it's in the passive, which means that there is a yielding to his power so that the ultimate power comes from the Holy Spirit, but we're simply yielding to his power. It's not a matter of working it out in the flesh. It's a yielding to his power, allowing him to control us. Notice it says, keep on being filled by the Spirit. It's a unique phrase, and some translations, including mine, I have with, and you think of it then oftentimes as being the content of filling. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you get the idea that maybe, well, I need to get more of the Holy Spirit and more of the Holy Spirit, but that's not really what it's saying here. It's not a matter of getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of the Spirit getting more of us, having control of more of our lives. And so it really means to be filled by the Spirit. It's not a content of filling, it's the instrument of filling. We're to be filled by the Spirit, and so it means influence, power, and control. to be influenced, to be empowered, and to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. This is not a fringe benefit in the Christian life. This is a fundamental aspect of the Christian life. I like what Dr. Stanley Toussaint used to say. This isn't the chrome trim of the Christian life. This is the chassis. It's a very integral part of walking the walk in the Christian life. It's not for the spiritually elite. Some people think, well, those who are really spiritual giants, they can be filled by the Spirit. No, this is not for the spiritually elite. This is for every believer. It's not a luxury, it's a necessity. We cannot be effective or successful in our Christian walk in our own strength. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. When you come to know Christ personally, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. You're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And those three are all completed acts that happen instantaneously at the very moment you trust in Christ. They happen instantly, instantaneously, and automatically at the moment you trust in Christ. Sealed, indwelled, baptized. Therefore, we're never commanded to be sealed. We're never commanded to be indwelt. We're never commanded to be baptized, because the moment you trust in Christ, those all happen instantaneously, instantly, automatically. But we are commanded to be filled by the Spirit. Why? Because it doesn't happen automatically. It is a result of yielding to the Holy Spirit. It's a result of being obedient. And it's something that takes place not just once, like sealing and baptizing and indwelling. It doesn't happen once for all like those three. It's something that happens moment by moment, over and over, daily in the life of a believer. It's kind of like eating a meal. You don't just eat once and then you're done for the rest of your life. You need to eat. You can eat and be full, but then you're going to get hungry again and you need to eat again. And then you need to eat again in order to have strength. In order to grow, you need to continue to eat. In order to have strength in the Christian life and in order to grow spiritually, you need to continue to be filled. It's a continual process. And again, it's not a question of how much of the Holy Spirit you have. The very moment you trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit seals you, indwells you, baptizes you in the body of Christ. You have all of the Holy Spirit. The question is, how much of you has been yielded to Him? Has your thought life been yielded to Him? Has your financial life been yielded to Him? Has your marriage been yielded to Him? Has your family been yielded to Him? Has your will been yielded to Him? Has your heart been yielded to Him? Has your life been yielded to Him? That's what we're talking about here. He should control your heart and your mind and your soul and your body and your finances, your life, and every aspect of our life. And some people may say, okay, I'll let Him control my Sundays, but not my weekdays. Then you're not completely filled. You've given a little bit to Him, but you're not really completely filled. Some people might say, well, I'll let Him control most of my life, but not my finances. I'm in charge of that. Well, then you're not completely filled. You've got all of Him, but He doesn't have all of you. Some people may say, well, I'll let Him control most of my life, but not my sexual life. Then you're not completely filled. You've got all of Him, but He doesn't have all of you. He's not in control of all of you. Now, notice the comparison again. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You've got, on one hand, a chemical high, on the other, a spiritual high. On the one hand, you have chemical control. On the other hand, you have spiritual control. And that comparison is found no less than three times in the New Testament. It's found in Luke 1 and Acts 2 and Ephesians 5. You can lose control by means of the spirits or by means of the Spirit. You can be controlled by alcohol or you can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Both affect your behavior. It's a matter of influence, power, and control. That's the comparison. But notice a contrast. I want to contrast Baptism of the Spirit with filling of the Spirit. Baptism of the Spirit occurs only at the moment of regeneration, and it's once for all. You're always then baptized into the body of Christ. But filling occurs many times after regeneration. Baptism is a once for all experience. Filling is a moment by moment experience. So baptism into the body of Christ happens only once at the moment you trust in Christ, but filling of Spirit happens many times in a believer's life. Baptism happens automatically. Filling happens only if we are obedient. Baptism is true of all believers. Being filled is true only of some believers. Baptism cannot be undone. Once you're baptized in the body of Christ and indwelt and sealed, that cannot be undone. But being filled, it can be undone. You can give him every area of your life, and then you can turn around the next day and take one area back, or another area back, or many areas back, or all areas back. Baptism results in our position. Filling results in our power. Baptism has to do with our relationship. Filling has to do with our fellowship. Baptism requires trusting in Christ as our Savior. Filling requires yielding to the Holy Spirit as controller. Well, what are the consequences of someone who is filled by the Spirit, who's yielded to them and being controlled by the Holy, yielded to the Holy Spirit and being controlled by the Holy Spirit? Well, we see that in the next verses. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's the first evidence. There are four evidence that are listed here. Four participles. They're adverbial. They're talking about the consequences of being filled by the Spirit. The first is speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's interesting. Psalms, that's singing scripture. Hymns, that's like traditional music. Spiritual songs, that's like contemporary music. It's kind of like a blend of all of these that are involved in being as an evidence. And it's outward praise. I want you to notice that. That's an outward praise. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And by the way, just an aside, some people think when worship music is only directed to God. That's not what this says. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Music is directed two directions. It's directed to God and to one another. Notice the next evidence of being filled by the Spirit. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The first is outward praise. The second is an inward worship. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's that inward worship. The third is an upward thanksgiving. Giving thanks, it says, always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a tough one. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us to do this. Notice it doesn't say giving thanks for the good things or giving thanks once in a while. Giving thanks always for all things. All things? That takes faith. Believing that God can work all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. That upward thanksgiving. And then finally, that otherward submission, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting ourselves to one another. And in fact, he's going to go on in this next passage and talk about wives submitting to husbands and children, submitting to parents and employees submitting to employers and things like that. Other words, submission. But that idea that we're going to lift others up and we're going to honor others and not have to always have it our way. The Spirit-filled believer is joyful, thankful, and submissive. Now, how does this happen? How does one get Spirit-filled? I want to make two observations from some other passages of Scripture here. Observation number one, turn with me to Galatians. It's the book just before this. Galatians 5, 16 to 26. Galatians 5, 16 to 26. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh are evident: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfishness, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he's talked about the flesh, and you can yield yourself to the flesh and be controlled by the flesh and influenced by the flesh, and these are the results: fornication, adultery, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, murder, envyings, and all that stuff. Or you can yield yourself to the Spirit. Notice verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. If we live in the Spirit, then let's walk by the Spirit. And instead of walking in the flesh and being influenced by the flesh and controlled by the flesh as a believer, let's be influenced and controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what he is saying here. So, I can either be controlled by the flesh or I can be controlled by the Spirit. And whatever we yield ourselves to controls us and becomes our master. Romans 6, 12 to 14 talks about that. If I yield myself to sin, then I'll be controlled by sin. If I yield myself to anger, I'll be controlled by anger. If I yield myself to lust, I'll be controlled by lust. I can yield to myself or my Savior. I can yield to sin or to righteousness. I can yield myself to selfishness or yield myself to service. But whatever I yield myself to, that becomes my master. And so I can yield myself to the flesh or the Spirit. If I yield myself to the flesh, I'll be mastered and controlled and influenced by the flesh. If I yield myself to the Spirit, I'll be influenced and mastered and controlled by the Spirit. Second observation. Turn with me to Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. There's something very fascinating here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So he's saying, let the word of Christ, God's word, let God's word dwell in you richly with all wisdom. Now notice, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Is this sounding familiar? Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Is this sounding familiar? And whatever you do or word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Is that sounding familiar? And wives, submit to your husbands, and husbands, love your wives, and children, obey your parents. Does that sound familiar? Do you see what I see? The results of being filled with the word of God are the exact same results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled by the Word of God. To be controlled by the Spirit is to be controlled by the Word of God. To be controlled by the Spirit is to be obedient to the Word of God. To yield to the Spirit is to yield to the truths and the challenges and the commands we find in God's Word. We yield to the Spirit of truth by obeying the word of truth. Very fascinating. The same results in Ephesians 5, 18 to 21 of being filled with the Spirit are the result of being filled with the word in Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. So how do we do it? Well, we'll wrap it up with two simple terms. Number one, trust. Trust. Respond by faith. I like what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. Focus on Christ as your adequacy. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal Christ to you and glorify Christ through you. His subjective work is enablement. So trust involves daily dependence. Trust involves daily dependence. And the second term is this, obey. In Galatians 5:16, we're told, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're to walk in the Spirit. Focus on the Word as your authority. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you into the truths of God's Word and guide you by the truths of God's Word. His objective work is illumination. The Holy Spirit helps us understand and apply the truths of God's Word. So to obey involves daily dedication. To trust involves daily dependence. To obey involves daily dedication. So, my dear fellow believers, we're commanded to be filled, influenced, mastered, controlled by the Holy Spirit. This is the only way we can be what God wants us to be. It's the only way we can do what God wants us to do. And it's the only way we can have the impact on this planet during our lifetime that God wants us to have. We've got to be yielded and controlled by the Holy Spirit. You can make a difference in your world by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can make a difference for all eternity by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can be on fire for Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me share a quote from Jim Elliot. He makes his ministers a flame of fire. Am I ignitable? God, deliver me from the dread asbestos of other things. Saturate me with the oil of the Spirit that I may be a flame. God, I pray, light these idle sticks of my life that I may burn for thee. That's Jim Elliot. If you want to be on fire for Christ, you need some fuel. And the fuel is the Holy Spirit. Let yield to Him, and you will be on fire for Christ. I've told the story before, but I just have to tell it again. The little country church is on fire, and the fire chief showed up, and the pastor decided to take advantage of that opportunity. He said to the fire chief, "Hey, I don't believe I've ever seen you at church before." And the fire chief turned to the pastor and said, "I don't believe I've ever seen your church on fire before." God forbid that anyone would say that of Grace Chapel. I trust that it'll be evident that we are on fire for Jesus Christ. We're passionate about serving Him and pleasing Him and living for Him and telling others about Him. And we just can't stop because there's a fire in our bones. We just can't keep from sharing how much we love Him and how much He loves them. The Holy Spirit wants to dwell in a pure vessel. So confess your sin. The Holy Spirit wants you to glorify Christ, so abide in Him. The Holy Spirit wants you to share the love of God, so love one another and love the lost. Give Him control of your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, your time, your talent, your treasures, your life, your love, your loyalty. Give Him control. A small boy asked his 12-year-old sister as the sermon concluded, "Now is it all done?" "No," she whispered back. "It's just all said. Now we have to go out and do it." Well, we've been looking at how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is it all done? No, it's just all said. Now you decide if you're going to go out and do it, or if you're just going to be a hearer only. God, I pray that you would help us to be filled by the Spirit. Father, help us not just to be hearers of the Word, deceiving our own selves, but help us to be doers of the Word. Help us, Father, to trust a daily dependence and obey a daily dedication. Help us to trust and obey, because there's really no other way to find the joy and meaning and purpose in life that you have for us, but to trust and obey. Amen. Would you stand and sing with the praise team?
Word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey.
Trust and obey.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. But you trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
And now, our Father, I pray that we will trust you, daily depend on you, lean on you, yield ourselves.